All right, we're in the book of Acts tonight as we return to our Sunday evening series. I want us to begin, we're going to be looking at verses 17 down to the end of the chapter this evening, down to verse 42. And what I want to give us tonight is just some very simple thoughts to consider in reaching our community. That's what the apostles were seeking to do in Jerusalem, was to reach people with the gospel of Christ. And there's some things that I want us to see tonight that I believe will be a help to us. We looked at a few Sunday mornings ago the first 16 verses of chapter 5. And Ananias and Sapphira and their decision to sell some property and let everybody think that they gave it to the church and wanted everyone to think that they gave it all, and really just to lift themselves up rather than doing something for the Lord. And that's what happens when we try to lift ourselves up instead of just letting God take care of that. If we try to lift ourselves up, we'll always get ourselves in a mess. And Ananias and Sapphira found themselves in a mess. And of course, the Lord took their life before they went home that evening. And at the conclusion of that, the Lord did great things, not only in the church, but throughout the regions around Jerusalem. And many people came to know the Lord. Tonight, for the sake of time, we'll really springboard in this message off of verse 24. And so read with me verses 24 through 28. Give me your attention, and I'm going to say those dreaded words. I will not keep you long tonight. All right? Acts chapter 5, verse 24. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them with violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, pay close attention to what they say here. And if you're in the habit of underlining your Bible, underline the next phrase. Behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Father, bless your word tonight. Lord, we thank you for you being who you are and for putting us in a place where, Lord, you can minister to us and help us. Help us tonight with your word. Encourage us and let us be used of you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes when I'm reading the book of Acts, Brian, when I see 3,000 people get saved in one ministry, I'm thinking, man, it must have been easy in that day. I mean, wouldn't you love to see 3,000 people get saved in 1 week? That'd be something to be a part of, wouldn't it? Come back the next week and 5,000 people get saved. That would be just incredible. The truth is, we always think ministry is easier for someone else or in someone else's location than it is ours. And what I've learned over 26 years in ministry is this: there is no easy way in ministry. You're trying to do things for the Lord. You're trying to live for the Lord. You're trying to help people. And your flesh is fighting you. The devil is fighting you. And the world is fighting you every step of the way. It doesn't matter if you're in the South, in the middle of Alabama, if you're in the North in New England, if you're in the West or the Midwest, there is no easy place in ministry because every area has its challenges. They're all different, but every area has its challenges. And while we get excited and we're inspired as we come through the book of Acts and we see these people get saved and this wonderful thing, this wonderful work of God and all that God is doing, and we think, man, that is incredible. That is just absolutely amazing. We get to places like chapter 5 and verses 17 through 42, and we find that those men did not have it as easy as we think they did. They had a desire to reach their community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Lord told them, Matt, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, you know the verse. He told them to go to Jerusalem and wait, and he says, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit. Receive power to be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and all Judea and all Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. That was their ministry. They began in their hometown. They began where they were familiar with all that took place. And even though most of them, they were Galileans, Jerusalem was the heartbeat of Israel. That was the center of Israel. And so they began the great work of God in that particular city. And they were reaching people. And they were stirring up people. And there was some obstacles along the way. But in these verses, I'm encouraged tonight by the things that the Lord reveals in their ministry. And the first I want us to see in verses 17 through 20 is this. Those who want to reach their community, trust the Lord to open doors that others consider closed. Read with me in verse 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, meaning they were filled with jealousy that consumed them. They were jealous of the apostles. They were jealous of their ministry. They were jealous of the crowds that were gathering. They were jealous that they were seeming to have an impact upon the multitudes more than they were. They were losing their crowd. As a result, they were very jealous, they were filled with indignation about what was taking place. If you remember, you go back to Acts chapter 4, you can look over there in verse 31. The apostles were threatened. They went back into their own. They began to pray. And they prayed, Jimmy, for boldness. They didn't pray for an easier ministry. They prayed for boldness in the ministry that God had given them. We don't have to pray for another ministry. We just need to pray for God to help us where we are. They needed God's help. And in Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, the Bible describes the apostles as Spirit-filled men who spoke the Word of God with boldness. Spirit-filled men. You get to Acts chapter 5 and you look in verse number 3. And Peter said that Ananias was Satan-filled, that Satan had filled his heart to lie to the Holy Ghost. And then we get to verse 17, and the chief priests and Sadducees were growing contentious with their jealousy because they were filled with indignation. And the reason being is that they recognized that these Spirit-filled men were filling their community, as we just read in verse 28, with their doctrine as crowds of people were converting to Christianity. Zach, if people are going to get upset with us, let them get upset for that reason. They're going to get mad at us if I'm going to get ugly emails, and I get them, If you're going to get threatening remarks, let it be because you're delivering the gospel of Jesus Christ and you are filling your community with the Word of God. If people are going to get upset, and people are going to get upset, let it be for that reason. Amen? Read with me in verse 18. The Bible says, "And they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angels of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, 'Go, stand and speak.'" That'll preach all by itself right there. "Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." What I've learned over the years, especially in the early part of my ministry, is this. Many people glory in closed doors. You go out on outreach with people, and a lot of times what people gloried in when they came back is, "I had three doors slammed in my face." You go to a preacher's meeting, and all the preachers stand up and talk about the people who are leaving their church. And I've sat in congregations where pastors say, "If you don't like it, there's a door. Head on out." And in my early days of ministry, I thought, if you were leaving, I must be really preaching. But what I learned real quick is you can't help them out there. It's better to love them right here. People like to glory in closed doors. They like to glory in things that happened to them that were bad. They like to glory in what they consider suffering, and it's not really suffering. Sometimes they slam the door because you were so rude when you approached them. People glory in closed doors. I heard for years, that our country went the wrong direction when the Supreme Court ruled that you can't pray in public school. Dee, can you not pray in public school? Christy? Absolutely you can pray in public school. But we'll glory in that. We'll say, "Oh man, the world hates us and the world is against us." Maybe you can't get over the intercom and pray, but you can still call out to the Lord and ask for help throughout the day. You can still help your children to pray unto the Lord. What really has affected our country is when we kick prayer out of the home. We have given education the responsibility that is ours as parents to train up our children in the way that they should go. We like to glory in closed doors. We like to glory in things that we think are bad. But the people who really reach others, they are praying for God to open the door, and when He does, they are ready to walk through it. That means if somebody is close to the gospel and they don't want to hear the gospel, well then, Stephen, I need to go back and I need to start praying for that individual that God would open their heart. And that when God opens their heart, then you're ready to go in there and share the love of God that is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. When I was 22, 23 years old, I worked for the local cable company in Huntsville. I was, they called me Deputy Dog. My job was to ride around wherever we had cable, My job was to ride around and find people who were hooked up illegally. I'm looking to see how many of you are guilty. I want to tell you something. People are creative at stealing their television. That's where the dog story came from. When I first started there, I let it be known. I was a preacher. That I was an individual that didn't laugh at dirty jokes, wasn't caught using profanity. I tried to be as real as I could be without being so stuffy that I couldn't reach anybody. I remember going to a particular job site, and there was a contractor. He was helping a contractor there. And I got out of the truck, and that man started cussing. And the guy I was riding with said, "Hey, you got to watch your language today. We got a preacher with us." And he says, "Well, he better cover his virgin ears, because I'm not going to change the way I talk." And he didn't. And I didn't blast him for it. That's who he was. But over time, I started getting calls on my radio. My call number was 936. And on the radio, I'd get these calls, and it said, "936, what's your 20? And I'd tell them where I was at. About 10 minutes later, those guys who wanted nothing to do with Christianity started coming by when nobody else was around and wanted to talk to me. 40-year-old, 50-year-old men. I'm a 23-year-old young man that doesn't know much. And they're wanting to share their problems with me and pray with them. Oh, you can stand your ground. And you can shut the door and you can glory over it. But people who reach others, they trust the Lord to open the door. And behind every closed door, there's an opportunity whenever God opens it. And we're going to be ready to get in there and reach them. Secondly, you'll see this. You'll see that we need to be easy to find in verses 21 through 26. The apostles were in the prison. They were locked up, but God come through there. He sent his angel in there, and the angel opened the prison doors. And when he brought them out, he told them to go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And verse 21, read with me. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. They didn't wait till noon. They didn't sleep in that day and say, "Well, we had a rough night. Let's just sleep in a little bit." No, they were eager to get back to what God had called them to do. And early in the morning, they were there. They began to teach. Whoever was there, they began to teach them. And the Bible says the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together and all the sin of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought, verse 22. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, "The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when he had opened, we found no man within." Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, "Behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. If you're going to get caught doing the right things. Too many believers get caught doing the wrong things. They're not where they're supposed to be. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're not talking the way they're supposed to be talking. They're acting out of character as a child of God. And the result of that is it causes people to push away the Christian faith, push away anything to do with that church or that ministry. If we're going to get caught doing anything, get caught doing the right things. When the high priest came, when they came together and said, all right, let's go get these men. They've been in the prison all night. Let's deal with them now. They sent the officers and the officers came. The doors were locked. Everything was in place. The keepers of the prison were where they were supposed to be. But the apostles were not where they thought they would be. But Mike, it didn't take them long to find them. It didn't take them long to find them because when they began to go out and look for them, the first place they thought they probably are is at the temple. And so while they're explaining that those apostles aren't there, the keepers of the prison are there, we don't really know what happened. We don't know where they are. Someone has already showed up and said, I can tell you where they are. They're at the temple and they're preaching Jesus. We should be easy to find. Do you remember when those in Babylon that they could not stand? Remember when Daniel and the Israelites were in captivity and they couldn't stand Daniel? And they couldn't find anything that he did wrong. They tried their best to find something that they could accuse him of. They could not accuse him of anything. So they figured the only way we're going to get him is we got to get the king to make some law against Daniel's God. So they went to the king, and the king made a decree that no one should ask a petition of anyone or anything. And when Daniel heard that law had been passed, what did he do? He went up to his room, opened that window facing Jerusalem, just like he always did, and he began to pray. And those people knew exactly where to find him. Well, it's 12 o'clock. I bet you Daniel is where he always is. He's in that room and he's praying to his God. A search party should never be sent out on Sunday for a believer. I'm going to tell you, Jacob, we should be the easiest people to rob in all of Morgan County. Because at 6 o'clock on Sunday night, we all know where you are. He ain't home. You want to reach your community? Get caught doing the right things. Be easy to find. I don't know where he is, but I know this. He's doing something for the Lord. I promise you he's doing that. Get caught doing the right things. Look at verse 27. Look for opportunities. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in his name? Remember when they threatened them of that in chapter 4? And then they let them go. Did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in his name? And behold, you fill Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Can I ask you a question tonight? When you feel someone has done you wrong, what is your reaction? When you believe that someone has done you wrong, how do you respond to that? Peter and the apostles, they're not hurting anybody. They're trying to help people. They're not fighting the government. If anything, they're trying to help the government. They said, why are you going against us? Why are you continuing to tell people about Jesus Christ? When somebody does you wrong, Garrett, how do you react? You go to Galatians chapter 5. And you'll read of how works of the flesh are envy, wrath, reveling, hatred, strife. Well, if somebody does me wrong, Jeremy, I'm going to get them back. You better believe I'm going to stand up. You better believe I'm going to tell them what's up. Is that the Lord or is that your flesh? Because in the same chapter, it offers the fruit of the Spirit, right? And the fruit of the Spirit is what, Nathan? It's love. It's joy. It's peace. It's long-suffering. It's gentleness. It's goodness. It's faith. It's meekness. And it's temperance. As Peter and the others faced their accusers, men who stood in opposition of the gospel, they didn't argue with them. They didn't fight with them. They just told them, guys, we're just trying to obey the Lord. Just trying to obey the Lord here. Don't mean you any harm. We're just trying to obey the Lord. The Lord told us that we have the responsibility to share the gospel with others. We're not trying to upset you. We're not trying to make you mad. We're just obeying the Lord. And this is what the Lord wants me to tell you. He died on the cross for your sin and my sin. He loves you. The God that you're mad at me about for speaking, to telling others about, He loves you. And He doesn't want you or your wife or your children or your grandchildren, He doesn't want any of your family to go to hell. He loves you and wants you to go to heaven. And I'm just trying to help you get there. Thank you, Johnny. You're going to face opposition. Ministry is not always going to be easy. And people are going to get upset. And you're going to feel at times that you've been done wrong. Or maybe you get wrongly accused, this, that, or the other, whatever it is. But an individual that wants to reach their community, just wants to respond in a way that they're obeying the Lord. Dylan, if I prove that I'm right to you in a way that embarrasses you, so that you go off hating me more, but I've proven that I'm right, and I've let everybody else know that I'm right and you're the one that's wrong, and you go off embarrassed and mad and furious, and you have nothing to do with Christianity or the gospel, you hate me, and you go off to hell, what did I do? What did I do? How do you respond? to people who oppose you when all you're trying to do is the right thing? The apostles looked for an opportunity. And if those men would listen, they asked the question, why did you go against what we told you? Well, this is why. Because the God of our fathers raised up Jesus. And God hath exalted Him to be a Savior and a forgiver of sins. And we just have the responsibility to tell you that truth. Verses 33 through 41, those who want to reach their community find reasons to rejoice. They find reasons to rejoice. All of us can find reasons to complain. It's not hard. We can find reasons to complain on a beautiful sunny day, can't we? It's still too hot, it's too windy, it's too cold. Verse 33, read with me. And when they heard that, they were cut to the heart, took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. Gamaliel was a great teacher in Israel. He shows up later in Paul's testimony. Paul sat under his teaching. So these men respected this teacher of the law. And he told them that these guys, they're cut to the heart. They've heard the gospel and they're angry. They're cut to the heart. They're ready to kill them. Gamaliel says, hold up. Now listen to what he says in verse 35. He said to them, you men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain. And all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. Nothing resulted of his ministry. In verse 37, after this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing. And drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. You cannot stop it. Lest haply you be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. They beat them. And they departed from the presence of the council. The apostles departed from the presence of the council. Doing what? Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. If we really want to show the Lord how thankful we are for Him, we need to find reasons to rejoice in the midst of our hurts, just as much as we find reason to rejoice in our victories. Even in our hurts, rejoice. I never want to come back to church after a time of outreach and glory over the people who slammed the door in my face. I remember one time we was doing outreach. We were in Hartsel. And I knocked on the door. Nobody came to the door. And I left an invite card. And I walked down the sidewalk, out of the driveway. And I heard something. And I turned around. The door had opened. And there was this woman with the meanest look on her face taking the invite card and shredding it to pieces. Just shredding it. And I didn't say anything. I just kind of smiled and waved at her. But this was my fault. Lady, that cost us 3 cents. It may cost you an eternity. I don't want to glory in the fact that somebody rejected me. They didn't reject me, they rejected him. And I want to glory in that. I'd rather come back sorrowing for them that they rejected truth. If we really want to show the Lord how thankful we are, why did God use those men the way that God used them? Well, they were Spirit-filled men. They recognized that even in closed doors, God can open them miraculously. And when He did, they were to go and do what He called them to do. They were easy to be found. Everyone just knew, find where God is doing something and they'll be there. They had the right spirit about them amongst their accusers. They looked for an opportunity. Listen, Will, you're never going to lead somebody to Christ who already believes in Christ. The whole reason you're talking to them is because they have rejected Christ already. So they're already in opposition. You go to them hoping to lead them to the Lord. And the Lord is the one that can save them. So you look for the opportunity. The opportunity is not going to always be in the easy places. They found reasons to rejoice. Even when they were beaten, they rejoiced in the Lord because they were counted worthy to suffer for Him. And lastly, in verse 42, don't quit. After their beating, what are they doing? They're right back. They're easy to be found. Daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Can I show you what's missing in that verse? Every person in every house believed what they preached and teached. It doesn't say every person believed it. It said that every house, they gave it. Are you with me? It's not up to us to determine whether someone will believe or not. It is up to us to be obedient to the Lord and be found doing what we know He has called us to do. So, Carrie, don't quit. Don't quit. Keep posting things about the Lord. Keep passing out tracts. Keep reaching people. Don't quit. Keep letting the Lord use you. He's worthy. Stay faithful. Keep praying. Keep being a testimony. Keep sharing the love of Christ. Keep giving the gospel. Just by all means, stay with it. Stay with it. You know who doesn't reach their community? People who quit. The the ones who will reach them is the ones who stay with it. That's why God did miraculous things in Jerusalem. Miss Joy, if you'll come, let me highlight these things.